Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Salieri Report. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm here in Switzerland with my dear friend, Thomas H. Meyer. Thomas, thank you for joining us on the Salieri Report.
Thank you for having the idea of making a talk about this subject today.
So Thomas had given me a wonderful little book on the Lord's Prayer, and I was reading it and told him how much I enjoyed it. And so when I came to Switzerland, he said, let's do a talk on the Lord's Prayer. I said, what a great idea. And anyway, so Steiner did how many lectures on the Lord's Prayer?
Three. All in the same year, 1907. And you and me have a copy of the first lecture.
Right.
January the 28th, 1907, in Berlin.
Berlin.
Yes.
Ah.
That's interesting.
Yes, they need it. So I thought I would start by just reading the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone knows it, but I will read it anyway. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's it.
Yeah, that was first given, according, I just checked, we find two places in the Gospels where this prayer is taught by the Christ to his disciples. One is in Matthew, the other is in Luke, if anyone wants to check.
So it's New Testament, it's Jesus.
It's New Testament, exactly.
It's Jesus bringing the covenant of grace.
Yes. And that's the external. So what would we like to look at more closely? Why is this so special?
Yeah, so what I would like to communicate is what Steiner teaches about the Lord's Prayer. And why is it important? Why is it so special? What does it communicate?
Yeah, okay. The first two lines address the highest in every human being. This was new to me when I reconsidered it. Because it is just saying, our Father, or what is it in English?
Our Father who art in heaven.
Exactly. These two lines are not a request. The request only come now. Give us and this and that. These two lines appeal to the highest in every human being. That is clearly said in the lecture, and I was surprised because I didn't realize that earlier. It is actually addressing the highest in every human being, which is at the same time in you and is in the world. And I had the feeling it's actually the same that he says about the Tao. The Tao is the highest we can strive to within and without. It is beyond duality. So what I think is important, the Lord's Prayer starts with an appeal to the highest within us, which is at the same time in the world. It's not only inside. And this is underlined here. And before you have any request, you appeal to the highest within, which is at the same time the highest without.
Uh-huh.
Beyond dualism. That's like the Tao. In the same year, Steiner spoke about the Tao a lot.
Right.
So it's the same sphere. So this prayer addresses the highest, which is beyond all dualities. Before we make any request, we appeal to the highest in us, which is the highest in the world. And then we come to the single requests, which are, as you know, of course, related to the total structure of the human being, sevenfold.
Mm-hmm.
We can go through quickly. The first request is
Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So
yes.
It's a respect for the divine will, not just our requests.
Yes. And we go from the first lines, Father in heaven, we go to the higher Trinity in us, which is covered by the lines.
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Exactly. And this is now the interpretation of Steiner. These three lines appeal to the higher three principles in every human being, which it's called in theosophy and in anthroposophy, manas, buddhi, atma. Spirit, self, you know the three higher principles? It's a trinity of three elements. And this is coming as the first three requests. The name refers to the spirit, self. The kingdom refers to the spirit, what is it called in English? I'm sorry, I'm a bit unsure about the English terms here. It's given in the lecture somewhere.
Here.
And hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The will is what the ancients called Atma, the will principle in the human being. And then you have the higher life principle, the kingdom done. And then you have at the beginning, hallowed be thy name. These are the three spiritual entities in every human being. And Steiner makes very clear that the will, the highest of these three higher principles, is only at the beginning of its evolution today. And in the future, the will of the human being will become a magical power, so to speak, which is far from being the case now already. So you appeal to these three higher principles in every human being. There are three, and then we have the fourfold lower principles, the ego, the astral, the etheric, and the physical. And the rest requests of the Lord Prayer appeal to this.
Right.
And then they start from below, like food, give us today, that is for sustenance of the physical.
Right.
And then the second one, forgive us our sins. Forgiving, that's important. Forgiving relates to, I'm talking about the spiritual scientific view of the Lord's Prayer. The forgiving relates to the etheric, and that's very important. It's not something else, it's the etheric. So we need an etheric force to wield the power of forgiving. As we are forgiven, we have to forgive. And then we have immediately the social realm.
So let me stop you there. So I want to go back to this etheric forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness comes from the etheric, or is it because the etheric needs forgiveness?
No, the etheric doesn't need the cosmic etheric. Is a wonderful whole. The etheric is in itself complete, the objective. But we, in our etheric bodies, can have lack. For example, there is a corresponding thing I want to add here, that Steiner once talked about the fourfold lower nature, physical, etheric, astral, and ego, in the following way to a student of his. That was the widow of General Moltke. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mentioned him. He says, in regards to the physical, which is represented by the brain, hardened brain, the etheric, paralyzed etheric, empty astral, and very dumb, not awake ego. That's the signature of the human being of today,
right?
1919. I wonder how he would talk today.
So it's almost as though the absence of forgiveness makes the etheric hard, and then the etheric can't receive the divine.
Exactly. And if the etheric is too hardened, no forgiveness possible. And the other great quality you need for an esoteric or spiritual developer is, apart from forgiveness, is devotion, is the faculty of admiring the good sense.
Right.
This is absent today, largely. If you look at the world, the faculty of devotion is practically non-existent, except in some religious circles, which are dying out if they are not revitalized.
Right.
So we have the second request, forgive us, needs a healthy etheric constitution. And if it is not healthy, forgiveness will be a problem. And the other aspect that he reveals here is the etheric has to do with the social. The whole social field has to do with the etheric, not with the physical. The physical individualizes us. Everyone is separate as a physical body, but our etheric bodies are interwoven. And if we have the other thing that he mentions here is guilt. Guilt, technically speaking, is something which impacts the etheric. The etheric is a guilt problem. And then you have to forgive with the etheric force, and that means you make a whole again,
mm-hmm.
the social reality in which you're living.
Okay.
And people who can't forgive are, you know, too separate in their individuality, which is the normal case today. And then the next step is the request for don't lead us into, what is the English word? Temptation.
Right.
That is astral. And that has to do in the explanation of the Lord's Prayer by Steiner with what happened at the beginning of evolution in the Lemurian time when Lucifer came to the human being. At the moment where the human being was trying to become an individual. When we started to become egos, Lucifer came and tempted us to say, well, that's boring to be just an ego. It's much more fun and interesting to be in the senses in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So temptation has to do with the working of Lucifer in us and should be redeemed by the request, don't lead us into temptation. And the highest of the four lower members, physical, etheric, astral, and ego, is the ego. And the request for the ego would then say, deliver us from evil. Evil is a technical word relating to the ego. The astral has no evil, but it has temptation. And the ego would then be tempted and should be delivered from evil. And you know, Steiner also points out that's a very deep thing, I think. Evil, in the Latin, you have a word which is at the same time meaning evil and meaning apple. Malum.
Malum? What's
malum.
That?
Malum is the Latin word for both evil and apple. That relates the whole thing to the story of Genesis.
Oh, the apple.
The apple.
Yeah.
The apple and the evil is the same word in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
So we have the four requests for the whole lower fourfold human being. And the beginning requests relate to the higher trinity of the human being, which are called, so we have the physical, the etheric, the astral, the ego, and then the spirit self, the life spirit, and the spirit man. These are the higher of the human being,
mm-hmm.
to be developed by help of this Lord's Prayer. And what is also, I think, strikingly important is that this prayer has a structure that it doesn't go to the personal wishes, because the personal wishes can never be fulfilled by the Godhead, because everyone has different personal wishes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to rise beyond that. And that is the appeal of the first two lines, which we said before, our Lord, which goes to the highest in every human being, even beyond the three higher parts, spirit self, life spirit, and spirit man. So this prayer just goes right up to the highest in us, which is the highest in the world.
Right.
It's not dualistic already. And what we have gone through briefly, of course, is very sketchy. Is represented as quadrangle, physical, etheric, astral, and ego form a triangle, a quadrangle. And on top of that, we have our higher faculties to be developed. You know, I tell you a little anecdote. I had a lawyer in a very hard time who was a very cunning lawyer, who defended us against ridiculous things about anti-Semitism and this and that and so on. And he revealed once when we were together in the escalator, in the lift, what is it?
Elevator.
Elevator.
Yeah.
Just that he is using the Lord's Prayer every day. Mm-hmm. And he was not an anthroposophist.
Mm-hmm.
But he was an excellent lawyer and who got us really out of the mess by just performing good operating.
So one of the things I most appreciate about the Lord's Prayer is when it says, give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
So when I first started, you know, I became a Christian in 19... I'd been raised a Quaker, but I converted to Christianity or in a Pentecostal church in the late 90s. And I had lived a life where, if you look at my bank accounts and my assets, I had provision for the rest of my life many times over. And then I went through a process where literally I remember one day getting up and I didn't have enough money to keep the utilities on or buy enough food. And I went over to the post office and somebody had sent me a donation of $100 from Happy Valley, California. And that's what I used to eat that week. And so, you know, I would literally get up in the morning and not have provision for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to feel safe and comfortable
mm-hmm.
with my daily bread coming day to day to day, and just having faith that there would be
mm-hmm.
provision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it worked. You know, it's like a faith walk.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Lord's Prayer for me did was it taught me how to operate and walk in faith without all this enormous provision and assets and other things to protect me, just the divine intelligence to protect me.
Yeah, that's a great thing, if you had experienced that. And this is also in full harmony with the other, not a prayer, but some lines that Steiner gave to pupils, that today we have to learn to be positive, sustained, in confidence, even if we have no material goods.
Right.
We have to learn that to be.
Right.
And you have learned that. And that is also the message of the Lord's Prayer. And we have to be ready to go from event to event and see that there is a good outcome of everything and let go all the false securities.
Right.
I mean, what does the security play? What a role today for many people, and is actually only clinging to things that are not eternal, and you can lose them, and you have done that.
Right.
That's an important spiritual experience, actually. So thank you. That's a very important
addition. There's nothing wrong with having provision and being prudent.
No.
But at the same time, if it stands in the way of your accessing the divine will, then you haven't got it in balance.
Exactly.
Right.
And then you are not free. That's the question for me. If you have provisions and are wealthy and this and that, if you're free, that's one thing. But
right.
if you cling to it, then you become a victim of your own wealth. And
right.
it's also visible many times.
Right.
So the freedom question enters this also.
So it's what we're talking about is the balance between those aspects that connect us to the divine powers and those aspects that have us in the world. It's so the layers of the body that you're describing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're praying a prayer that over 1 billion people pray.
Yeah.
And when you pray it, it connects you into that field that
mm-hmm.
there's a power coming from
mm-hmm.
praying something
mm-hmm.
that many other people mm-hmm. also pray.
I agree. That's an important aspect of it. You go beyond your own individual cell, so to speak, and you become one. You merge with many other people in consciousness
mm-hmm.
doing this. And it is also described, this is one of the parts of this explanation Steiner gives. It is a sort of a meditation. It is not a meditation about thoughts. It's a meditation by your also deeper feeling being. But you can use it as a meditation, of course. And that answers the question, what is the relation of the Lord prayer to all these meditations you find in spiritual science?
Right.
And there is, of course, a deep relation. Yeah, this is a deep thing, and we could go on for I don't know how many days, but no time. You have obligation, maybe that's the core of it. What would you like to add?
So what did Steiner encourage us to do with the Lord's Prayer? What did he encouraged people to pray it?
He did it. He made even a new version in German. And it is said that he prayed that together with a close friend and collaborator, the founder of the anthroposophical medicine, Ita Wegmer.
Mm-hmm.
Daily, when he was on his sickbed, daily,
mm-hmm.
together, they did that together.
In German. So that's how I think we should close. I think you should pray the Lord's Prayer in German. I did in English.
Yes. We could do that. Vater unser, der du bist im Himmel, geheiliget werde dein Name, zu uns komme dein Reich, dein Wille geschehe. Unser tägliches Brot gib uns heute, vergib uns unsere Schulden, wie auch wir vergeben unseren Schuldigern. Führe uns nicht in Versuchung, sondern erlöse uns von dem Übel. Amen. It's also maybe worth hinting out briefly. Dein Wille geschehe, thy will be done.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is the education of the will to become universal and stop being self-centered, which is right. Usually the case.
Steiner in the first lecture describes two armies going at each other, both praying to God to deliver them and saying, come on, that can't work.
The Ukrainians and the Russians would.
And that's why thy will be done is such an important.
Absolutely.
Right.
But that shows the will is only a seed element in us. If it is fully developed, it will be universal and detached from the ego in the normal sense. It will be cosmic.
Right.
Dunlop once said in one of his wonderful lectures, the will cannot be strengthened, actually, but you have to find it. It's a cosmic quality.
You know, that's a very excellent point.
People think they have to strengthen their will. That is then dangerous because it is ego will. But if you have the vision, the will belongs to this cosmic, then the question is, how do I find it and why do I not find it?
Right.
That's a wonderful point. And Dunlop was a master in this.
If you're working on something and you're not finding, if you're trying to find that will in your ego and it's not working, then that's the solution. You have to find your will.
The will is cosmic. I think all the Western people have a deep understanding of this somewhere. Cosmic will, not individual only. And this is an appeal to that in the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's a short sketch. Thank you, Catherine. You have a good idea. We will sometime follow this up.
So I just want to point out, we're looking forward to our next contribution to Spiritual Science Academy. You're going to be recording those soon.
Yes.
Yes. So stay tuned to the Spiritual Science Academy website because we have more coming.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.